So as we've come through the season of Easter, we've seen various pictures of Jesus. We've seen Jesus who shows up with the disciples on the road to Emmaus and the breaking of the bread. We've seen Jesus, the good shepherd. We've seen Jesus, the healer. Jesus, the peacemaker, who speaks peace into the frightened hearts of the disciples. And today, on this, the last Sunday in the season of Easter, we see Jesus who prays. Now, the Gospels are full of stories of Jesus praying, often by himself, often alone, and the words of those prayers are not often known, but this one in John's Gospel is. And Jesus prays for his disciples. This passage in John is often called the high priestly prayer scholars call. It's kind of complicated and full of they're not me and I'm in the world and not in the world and all of John's kind of complicated Greek language. So it's kind of hard to wade through. But in the prayer is Jesus praying for his disciples. He's praying for them because he knows that in not so many hours and days, he will no longer be with them. And as he was an example in their life and role model for them and companion in their pilgrimage with faith, he knew that they were taking these fledgling steps to carry on the mission of God in his absence. I don't know how many of us have prayed these words, and thanks be to God, we have the Lord's Prayer to pray every week instead of these words from Jesus, but I'm quite confident that any parent that has ever dropped their child off at college knows this prayer. Any parent who has ever seen their child deployed to active duty knows this prayer. Because Jesus is praying for those who will go on in his stead, who will take those fledgling steps out on their own. Jesus knows that in not so many hours, all of his disciples will suddenly be living on with his presence in a new way, in a resurrected way. I've heard parents often refer to raising children as living with your heart outside your body, and I think Jesus knew that feeling as he was coming to grips with what the passion would really mean for him and for his disciples. And so while I think he is missing the fact that he will no longer be physically journeying with them, he prays to God that God might be with them and protect them, that God might see that they would be safe from the evil one, and that they might share a unity rather than divisions in the purpose of the mission of Christ, to take the word of God to the ends of the earth. I remember those hours outside my dorm at Lenoir Ryan University when Mom dropped me at college, and she said, you know, just remember, you can't do anything worse than I've already done, and we love you, right? Jesus is saying to his disciples, you can't do anything worse than I've already done, and I love you, and I ask for God's protection to see you through. Which I don't know about you, but is pretty remarkable news for me as one of the disciples who stands in the long line of saints that have claimed the faith. That Jesus prays for us, too, that we might be one, that we might be safe from the evil one. And I'll be honest, the Christian community over the years has not always gotten it right. That when we look at our history as a Christian church over these last 2,000 some odd years, there have been times when we have not been one. There have been times when we have not gotten it right, and we have allowed the evil one to creep into our church and take it captive. We have struggled against the evil forces that contend to seek power and pride rather than servant leadership after the example of Jesus. And so Jesus prays that we might continue to be grounded in that spirit of oneness, contending against the evil forces of this world, so that God's great love for us all might be known to the ends of the earth. Jesus prays for us in this work. Because like a great steward, Jesus knows that he has been given time to steward these relationships, to instill faith in these disciples' lives, but that it will be their responsibility to take it forward. That Jesus was entrusted with the sacredness of their lives to then let them fly and take the ownership of the church on to the next generations. It's not that unlike the way we steward the relationships with our little disciples in this community, that they might become known, that they might come to know God's deep and abiding love for them and for this world. Through confirmation, we lift them up and affirm their faith and then launch them into the world as adult disciples, ready to claim the faith and see them through the ups and downs of their life, knowing that we support them and cheerlead for them every step of the way. Because this is what it means to pass on faith. And Jesus is praying that the faith might pass on to the disciples. And because we're all here, we know that it will. And we know that it does. And it will continue to do so as we pray for those disciples who will come after us too. This is what it means to be part of the great Christian witness that is part of all time and all places. And so we join Jesus in his prayer, praying for those in our life that we shepherd as faith presences for them, that they might be one and they might be safe from the evil one, because this is how Jesus prays for us. And because Jesus prays for us, we can do incredible things. I give thanks for the way the early disciples transformed the very nature of the world with the radical good news of God. We too can do extraordinary things in the name of Christ, who prays for us, with us, in all things. Amen.